demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story today, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning. Free estimates are available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Just going to run down some of the larger news in the NBA when it comes to the trade deadline. Obviously, we touched on this to finish the first hour. But Memphis is sending David Roddy to the Suns for a pick swap as part of a three-way trade with Phoenix and Brooklyn, sources told The Athletic. Suns pick up O'Neal and Roddy for their postseason rotation. So that I wanted to get into, their postseason rotation. So what will that look like for Phoenix? Obviously, the starters are Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Kevin Durant, and Yusuf Nurkic. You look at the backup power forward role, which is where David Roddy would sit. That's Bol Bol. So I would imagine Roddy is going to get into that second unit and be part of that playoff rotation. That's a better move for Roddy. I mean, you're on a better team. You're on a team that might make some noise in the playoffs. And what an experience for him. I mean, he's going to be teaming up with Kevin Durant. We'll reach out. Maybe we could get him on at some point when he settles in at Phoenix. The Detroit Pistons are releasing the 2020 number 7 pick in Killian Hayes, sources told Shams earlier. And then I mentioned the Milwaukee acquiring Patrick Beverley from the 76ers for campaign, according to The Athletic. So we got news coming from all over the place right now. What's the one that sticks out to you? I mean, I honestly, Angel, I look at the Hornets and the Gordon Hayward thing. Gordon Hayward going to Oklahoma City. That's got to be a move for the Thunder, a playoff push type move for them. The Knicks are getting a lot. They got a huge deal with the Pistons. They landed Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks for Quentin Grimes and Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, former Nugget, and two future second-round picks. So the Knicks are loading up, it looks like, to make a big run, while the Pistons, they're going to trade off all their big-money guys right now. They're not doing anything with them. That's the belief. You know, when you're a bad team that has good players, it's not working, so you might as well cut bait and try to rebuild that thing. So that's what the Pistons are doing. However, the Knicks might be an interesting team to watch out for in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, the emergence of Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle there as well. You add a couple more pieces. That's a solid team. I think in terms of the West, obviously OKC, you mentioned there with Hayward, who is still a solid player.
Yeah.
And then Dallas getting PJ Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are two moves that kind of go, you know, perk your ears up a little bit. You know, it's a good reminder to know that they're still chasing the Nuggets at this point. Everyone else is, so don't freak out. You know, the Nuggets didn't just lose the NBA Finals because of the trades on February 8th.
I don't think any trade, because Durant was traded last year, right, at this point, to Phoenix?
Yes.
That was the one.
Was it a midseason trade?
It might have been a midseason trade. It might have not have been up to the trade deadline. But that was the trade that had everybody freaked out. I don't look at any of these moves today and say, oh, boy, that's the one. You know, Gordon Hayward's a fine player, but ever since his injury, he hasn't been the Gordon Hayward that I remember in his prime at Utah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking, I mean, with the Knicks, certainly, but, you know, fortunately, Nuggets wouldn't have to worry about that unless they're in the finals, and then we'll handle that as we go. That could be a very interesting matchup. The Sixers getting Buddy Hield. How about that? How about your boy, Buddy? Isn't that your boy? He's going.
Not my buddy, but He is Buddy.
Got him from the Pacers. That's a guy that I thought would be a consistent, like a really good player for a long time. But he's kind of moving around, bouncing around different teams now. So nothing about these trades has me worried in any kind of way. No more so than I was yesterday. Yeah, the concerns for the Nuggets are still, what's your bench unit going to provide? That's it. And it didn't make sense for them. And again, I'm not seeing anything with the Nuggets. It just doesn't make sense. any trade they'd make is really just a middle-of-the-road guy for a middle-of-the-road guy. You know, you're not going to trade any young, high-ceiling guy. You're not going to get any young, high-ceiling guys for trading away a Reggie Jackson or anything. Like, Reggie Jackson's not a trade guy. That's a guy that you release and somebody picks him up. Like, that's not where he is in his career anymore. Peyton Watson would probably grab some attention, I suppose, but Nuggets are, that's part of their future right now. So it just, the further we got into this thing, and yeah, the idea of, you know, could Bruce Brown ultimately get cut and what does that look like? Well, I think Bruce is too good of a player to get cut. So he's going to be traded and moved around. I don't know what's going to happen with him. But it's just, there's nothing out there. And there's nobody on this roster right now that's good. Would you consider breaking up at this stage? You're just coming off of a championship. You can argue about MPJ. You can worry about KCP. Hopefully that injury's okay. But you're not going to break up the chemistry right now. If you don't go on deep into the playoffs and maybe you lose in the finals, then you might sit down and go not back to the drawing board, but in certain positions go back to the drawing board. But this is the worst time to do that. So the five were safe. And then again, Brown's safe, but he's also not extremely valuable right now. His stock has certainly plummeted since the playoffs. And then Reggie Jackson is not a guy anybody's going to trade for. He's not a veteran missing piece for anybody. He might work out for the Nuggets this year, but I don't think a lot of teams are looking at Reggie Jackson going, yeah, if we have him coming off the bench, six, seven, eight guys, then that's probably going to be the guy to get us over the hump on our bench.
Well, yeah, the Nuggets are at the point where you won your title with your core and a few vet pieces. Now you need to see if you can do it with your core and the rookies and the young guys that you're developing. If they don't pan out the way you think they are, then you change course where needed, as you said. And the reality is there's a three-way tie for first in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah. With the bench being what it is right now, which I believe it's only going to get better. I know I'm basing this a lot off of the last 2 weeks with Watson and the last two games with Christian Brown, but I truly believe that there's something there with Christian Brown. I've been disappointed with him throughout most of the season, but you can't tell me what he did in the playoffs just goes away. Like, that doesn't just go away. He can still be that player that they need, that nobody else is providing that stuff for him. No one's providing that high energy, you know, guard forward guy, small forward guy that can box out and rebound the way he does. Nobody else on this team is like that. They're rebounding because they're monsters, they're big, whatever. Christian Brown is he's not a jack of all trades, but he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. And we just haven't seen that at all. So I'm of the mindset, I'm very optimistic that the wait and see approach, which I know is a bad word when I used it for CSU, the wait and see approach for the Nuggets right now is the best approach. It's really the only approach for them.
Yeah, you don't want to risk trading away a young piece for a 1 or 2 year replacement that's not, and then you don't win it, and then it's, oh crap, sorry Peyton, I wish we could bring you back, but you're gone, or Christian's gone, or yeah, you would hope that there's 4 games before the All-Star break. Maybe try to continue this momentum a little bit, and then when you get back from the break, it is all systems go, gunning for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the plan here. Is now you had some days off. We got the All-Star break coming up. What is it like?
Next weekend.
It's next weekend. So get through that. Find a way to finish on a really positive terms, especially with your bench. See if they can gain some momentum here in the next few games, and then take your All-Star break and go, all right, it is absolutely go time here. So they'll have Los Angeles tonight in L.A., the Lakers. That's an 8 o'clock tip. Tomorrow night, so they get a nice break, Angel. They didn't play Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but they're right back at it. Tomorrow night, they're at Sacramento, and then on Monday, they're at Milwaukee. So
that's a trip.
Somewhat of a brutal schedule right there. And then they'll play... They'll play against Sacramento again on home on Wednesday, February 14th, on Valentine's Day. And then Thursday against Washington, Friday at Portland, Sunday at Golden State, February 28th. So they'll have the break in between, coming up. And that's when you have to be ready to rock and roll, man.
Yeah, and they should get plenty of rest because Jokic is the only one that's leaving. Would he opt out of the weekend? Just be like, nah, I'm going to stay.
I mean, if there were ever a player to do it, that'd be the one to do it.
No, I'm going to stay here with my team, and we're going to practice and get healthy and maybe play dodgeball again.
Yeah, maybe just play some dodgeball. So you got four games left until the All-Star break for the Nuggets, and they're all pretty tough. Pretty tough matchups there. I know I probably sound like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid here or I'm fanboying it a little bit, but I really believe that this young group on the bench, led by Reggie Jackson, can be okay. Worried about this one, though. KCP, with that hamstring thing, I mean, I think Nuggets Nation just holds their breath when they see any of the top five go down, hurt. He left the game, he walks off holding his hamstring, and you just wonder how serious it is. Well, he's listed as day-to-day, so that's a good sign, but does he go tonight in L.A.?
The former team. Maybe, I mean,
emotional night.
I'm opposed to throw Peyton in that spot and see how he does.
I think that this would be a good opportunity to say, KCP, we're not going to force it. We got back to backs here. Maybe we rest you for both of these games. Let's put Peyton Watson in there and see if we can get some more confidence from him going forward. I don't know if Julian Strother's up yet. Is he back up on the Nuggets roster? Is he still in the G League? I think he's on his way back.
I know he played his first G League action last night.
And he was good.
21 points or something.
Yeah.
So I probably project him to come back after the All-Star break.
Then it's, you know, maybe you get a chance here to go deeper into your bench tomorrow, or tonight and tomorrow. Give KCP the break. Put Peyton Watson in the starting lineup. You know, hopefully give Christian Brown a lot of minutes.
Zeke?
Oh, that's the guy, man. I mean,
yeah, I doubt he's not. He's got another 2 hours before he's safe, so.
And he didn't do enough. Again, he's not one of the. He's a guy you would move at this point just to move, and you'd probably just release whatever you got for him. Mm-hmm. And that sucks because, you know, when he got drafted, we see Arizona. I liked his story. And he's a very intelligent guy, and he plays the piano. He loves, you know, he's a likable guy. It just, there was moments where it looked like it was going to click for him, but now every time he's out there, it's just, he's just a guy. He is just a random player. He's just an NBA player, barely at this point.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be good. So it sounds like this might be the group the Nuggets are going with. We'll keep our eyes on the deadline, of course, 18 minutes after the hour. Before we break, got to let you know about this. We want you out there. I hear Tanner talking trash. Angel, I don't know if you're talking trash yet, but we got the United Way night presented by KFKA at the Colorado Grit game next Friday, February 16th. KFKA, we're asking you to join us in celebrating the United Way at the Greeley Ice House. That's a 7:15 game. We're going to have members of our staff and United Way members compete in a fun kind of ice soccer hockey thing is what's happening. So we're going to be playing that. It looks like it's going to be you, me, and Tanner. Are you officially on board? It sounds like it's us three.
Yes.
Have you ever played this before?
Have you?
No, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know that I've seen it.
Tanner apparently has some inside information, so whatever
so
that means.
The goal will be the hockey goal, correct? The hockey goals will just be left there for us to try to kick some kind of ball?
Kickball type thing?
Into the net. But we're
on ice.
And we're in like a bubble suit thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be hitting each other?
I think. We're on ice with no skates, and I don't like that.
That's the terrifying thing, man.
Yeah, it's slippery.
Well, so we're going to be out there. You, me, and Tanner will be going up against, I know Travis is going to be out there with United Way. He's a good dude, but he's talking mad trash. I think I still got some athletic ability, so I don't know.
I don't know how much of it you'll be able to use in this.
I don't know. Does athletic ability even help you at this point?
I think it's just all your legs, whatever your legs can do on ice.
I shouldn't be skipping leg day. 12:20 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, led by Ryan Hicks, great friend of mine, big-time Bears fan. Well, he went to UNC. He and his partner formed this insurance group 20 years ago, both UNC Bears alumni. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs for Weld County, for Northern Colorado, for Larimer County, along the Front Range. I mean, they're rocking it right now. So for you guys listening, you know, they specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs, and are the go-to for workers' compensation. And obviously big for this area, farming operations. So, you know, like I always say, man, if you've got a good insurance agent and all that stuff and you're happy, great. But if you're looking at making a change, or you're looking at increasing, getting a different plan or something like that, you know, we do suggest you try out these people that we're talking about on a daily basis. It's not like, I mean, we sell advertising around here, certainly. But when we're talking about these companies on a daily basis, certainly the ones that you hear on, you know, when we're doing these chats inside of our shows, you can't just throw anybody on there. Because you get to the point where that could ruin our reputation. If these guys are bad at this and we're sitting on the air every single day vouching for them. So there is a certain process and a structure that goes into it where we want to make sure that these businesses we're telling you about are great businesses. And Ryan at Renaissance Insurance is one of those guys. 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Angel Eastside Chris says, what is the line on your hockey soccer bubble game? I don't know what the line would be. I would take us. You know, I think we're going to win this. I'm not a big trash talker, but you're 25. Tanner's 26. And I'm... So that's a young group right there. So I'm going to... And, you know, I think you're in pretty good shape. I'm in pretty good shape. Tanner's going to be there. And that's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
The confidence needs help.
I haven't done anything athletic in a while.
No pickleball or anything to get the blood flowing, nothing like that.
Go for a walk every now and again, but that's not walking on ice with tennis shoes.
Do you consider doing some kind of ice training? Find an ice patch somewhere and just start walking on it.
I mean, I'm decent at ice skating. I can, you know, stay up and go around the rink a few times, but
they won't actually...
I mean, I'd probably be more comfortable with ice skates on.
They won't actually let us wear ice skates, though, because we could kill each other.
We're in bubbles.
I'm glad we're not wearing ice skates, because at least now I have an excuse for when I fall. Because if I were in ice skates falling...
That's the objective.
I know. Well, yeah, and... It's,
I think it's more the entertaining the fans.
So we're going to be falling a lot.
Probably.
Your shoes don't have extra grip on the ice at all? I don't know.
Ice.
I don't know. Because I see people walk on the ice sometimes. You see them come out during a hockey game or something, and they're doing their...
I mean, if you have some non-slip shoes, you know, you can go talk to a fast food worker. And
are we better with shoes on or off? That might get cold.
Socks?
But yeah.
It might get cold.
Yeah.
Might cut your feet, too.
Just trying to think. Honestly, I haven't spent much time thinking about it, because I know that I'll overthink it, and I'll stress out about it. But now it's getting close to it. We're about a week away from this. This is big. It's a big one. I won't read that text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It should be a lot of fun. In fact, we want to send some people out there. We want you to join us. Come out and enjoy that game. I'm going to give 4 tickets away here in just a minute. Flying Dutchman says, make sure you use the duck walk on ice. So is the duck walk where you're not picking your feet up very much? Is that what that is? Or just kind of waddle?
Your feet are, your toes are pointed outward.
Is that what you're saying? Hey, we're getting some tips here. That's great.
Walk like a duck. Quack like a duck.
Quack like a duck. Okay, so Tanner's going to be probably what you call in the hockey terms, he's going to be our goon. He's going to be probably going hitting people. So that's where you or I have got to be the finesse guys. One of us has got to be McCarr, and one of us has got to be McKinnon. And that's how we'll do it. Tanner is like, you know, we'll go draw. Adam Foote was not a goon, but he was a defensive stud. So we'll say Tanner's like our Adam Foote. And then, you know, one of us has got to be McKinnon and or McCarr. Do we have goalies? Do we do that? I don't know. It's 3-on-3.
3-on-3.5 rink.
Yeah, it's half, I guess. It's not the full, which is good, because I don't think we'd make it down the long part of the rink there, man. I don't know.
It should be interesting.
Feet out, knees bent. You got this, Flying Dutchman says.
Well, I don't know what the range of motion is in this sphere that we're in.
Yeah, it's a little bubble thing around us.
Our feet are sticking out, and it's...
Oh, it's down to the ankles?
It might be to the knees, depending on how tall you are.
We should look it up. Maybe we should look up pictures. What is this called? It's called hockey soccer. Mm-hmm. I need to look at a picture here. I realize I'm doing this on the fly, but that's okay. I'm not seeing anything for this. Is it hockey bubble soccer? Hockey bubble soccer. Let's try that and see. Oh, yeah, it's above the knees. It's above the knees. It's just a giant bubble around you. You're in a bubble. Your hands don't appear like they're, people look like they're getting hurt there. That's scary. Falling down a lot. Nobody is really standing up in any of these pictures that I'm seeing. But yeah, we're going to have a range of motion with our legs there. That's good. Because I thought we were going to be doing the penguin thing, and that would be scary. We'd not be cool with that.
I think the whole thing is scary.
Are you stressing about it yet?
No.
All right, let me give away a 4-pack of tickets. Want you guys to come out there. This is going to be a blast. And listen, it's fun for us. It's great for United Way. But the Colorado Grit, like, this is a hockey program that is growing, and you have it in your own backyard. Go out there, support this. Go out there and support these guys. These are guys that could be playing at the next level, whether it's D1 hockey or they're playing even in the NHL or the AHL, the ECHL, all those levels you can move up. These are great players, and it's a lot of fun. And support something like this, because if you don't, they go away. And this is something worthy of your support if you're a sports fan. So I'm giving a 4-pack of tickets away right now. Caller number 3. Come out, hang out with us. It's going to be a blast. 970-353-1310. Caller number 3. You got a 4-pack of tickets to go check out this game on February 16th. For the Colorado Grit, we're going to be there. I don't even know when we're going out there, but at some point, we're going to be falling all over the place. So there's a little extra for you. 970-353-1310. 12:32 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
True Safety offers CDL training as an accredited private occupational school through the state of Colorado. They have 25 years of CDL training experience. If you guys are thinking about a CDL, change of career, or something you've always thought you wanted to have was a CDL, you can take the test, you can go through the classes through truesafetyservices.com, use KFKA10 for 10% off of first class, 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Poll question of the day. We're talking dynasties here. Are the Kansas City Chiefs already a dynasty? And that just leads us down. This is one of the more entertaining debates, I think, in sports, because there is no right answer. I suppose there's a wrong answer. You can't just say, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, if they win another Super Bowl now with a completely different group, are part of that dynasty. No, they're not. So you can't. You can't do that. Like, there are wrong answers on this, but when you start getting to the point where you've got an obvious successful team, such as the Kansas City Chiefs, then yes, there is a wide open debate for this. It's easy for Kansas City to win this debate. Go win your third Super Bowl on Sunday. Have you thought about your picks yet? Have you thought about your pick, I should say? You don't have to give it yet, but do you have your mind made up of where you're going on this thing?
I know who I'm rooting for.
But who are you picking? Same thing for you?
Kind of the same thing.
San Francisco is now a 1.5-point favorite. So, I mean, we're still thinking this is going to be an epic game. Now, do you think that this sets up like do you think it's going to be high scoring? I mean, we talked about both defenses are pretty good, but what we've seen in the playoffs was, you know, the Niners gave up 31 to the Lions. The Chiefs they shut down the Ravens, no question about it. But we've seen a few games go back and forth. The Chiefs gave up 24 to the Bills. The Niners gave up 21 to the Packers. And in that wild card round, the Chiefs obviously only gave up 7 to the Dolphins. But I think the over-under when I looked at it was 47. Do you think that's crazy when you look at two solid defenses like that to get to 47, especially in a Super Bowl?
No, but I think it's because the game is so high magnitude and the tensions are up there. You don't want to make a mistake. 28-24. Something like that.
That would do it. That would do it. Yeah, I could see it being a high scoring game. You know, again, both of these
35.
I could see it getting up to one team maybe getting to the 30s. Yeah.
I feel like if it was a back and forth shootout, like, that's entertaining, but is it fun?
I think that would be fun.
Because then it's like, okay, who's going to get the ball last versus which defense is going to have to make a stand?
You could go a lot of different ways for this thing to be fun for me. I could see if it was a shootout, great. If Brock Purdy's ready to buckle up and join Patrick Mahomes on that and we go back and forth, we could have an epic quarterback clash there. I'd be cool with it, too, if it was like 20-17, you know, or 20-10 even. If it low scoring, it's... defenses are really stingy, really getting after it here, and it just comes down to one or two miscues that leads to either KC or San Francisco. So I'd be good. I just don't want to see, like, first quarter, either whichever team gets up 10-0 first quarter, and then it's 13-0, and then it's 17-0, and then it's 17-3, and then now it's 24-6. I don't want to see that, where it's just like one team is in control for the most part of this game, and it's relatively boring. It could happen. You know, these teams are both trying to beat each other, and both teams would love to get up early and maintain a solid lead. But those are the worst Super Bowls, obviously. Big time blowouts, like what we saw with the Broncos and the Seahawks, I wasn't a fan of that, obviously, for obvious reasons. But sometimes when you see those monster blowouts in a Super Bowl, all the pressure is now gone. It's off, and you can just watch the fiasco, the dumpster fire. So sometimes when they're just epic collapse in the Super Bowl, you know, Twitter's going to go nuts. Everybody's going to be going nuts talking about whoever that team is that's getting smoked. They don't deserve to be there, all that stuff. So that can provide its own entertainment. But if you're maintaining, like, honestly, kind of like the Chiefs-Ravens game, even though the Chiefs only won by a touchdown ultimately, it still felt like the Chiefs were up by two or three scores throughout the entire game. It's just kind of a boring game.
Yeah, I think about the last time these two teams met. It was competitive for like three quarters, and then the Chiefs kind of pulled away late because Jimmy G couldn't complete a pass downfield in the second half. So it just, you know, Chiefs kind of ran away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks-Chiefs, it was kind of destined to be a Bucks Super Bowl there.
Bucks were just deep that year, too, and I know it was the Brady thing, but their defense was really, really good.
Yeah, Rams-Bengals, pretty solid game. Last year was a pretty good game. Even Philly and the Patriots a few years ago, that was a pretty good game. You have the Rams-Patriots in there, that was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's setting up to be an epic game. Setting up that way.
Is anything more epic than 28-3?
I mean, wasn't that
or
something?
Or even the Seahawks-Patriots one?
Yeah, Seahawks-Patriots. I mean, the way that thing ended, that's one of the worst endings. And if not the worst, is it not the worst Super Bowl ending ever?
It's pretty bad.
I mean, all you have
99% of the world said, run the ball.
And it was not with a random running back.
No.
It was with a guy that was known for never getting tackled or never getting brought down on the first hit or two. So
it was a yard.
It was 1 yard, man. I mean, 1 yard. And they call that play, too. I mean, if you're going to pass it, I don't like congestion and on the goal line like that. And they do a quick slant on the inside slot, you know, on the slot, quick slant. What are we doing?
Could have been almost a Seahawks dynasty.
You sure could have.
If they win that game, do they keep their team together?
You could have. People were probably so upset with Russ and Pete Carroll after that, and Russ threw the pick, and again immediately after the game, like Russ is walking off. He's still fine because you know he did his whole thing. Like, hey, at the end of the day, it's just a game. Some players don't want to hear that. That was devastating. Yeah, it's your chance. You only get so many chances to go to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. Like Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game, and he has not been back since he won it. So it is difficult. The greats that we talk about, the Elways, the Montanas, they only have so many. And so when you get there, especially when you get there, when you're on the one and you have one of the beat, what was it, second and goal on that? Or was it third and goal?
I want to say third and goal.
You have a beast of a running back that is going to fight and claw and scratch and bite to get to the end zone. And you throw it, and then you throw a tight, quick slant. I mean, yeah, Seattle could have been. That would have been two for them, and you know, maybe relationships would have gone a little bit smoother because it's like, well, we want to try to fight to keep this thing together because we know we're capable of winning two Super Bowls. But that, the way they lost it, even though they were certainly capable, they would have won the game. They would have beat the Patriots. But bad decision like that can light a fire, you know, underneath your organization. So I'm telling you, man, that's going to go down as one of the worst endings in Super Bowl history. Flying Dutchman, don't overthink it. You have Patrick Mahomes on one side and Brock Purdy on the other in a quarterback-friendly league in a game where hopefully the referees keep their flags in their pockets. Chiefs by at least 7. Well, the thing is you got to overthink it a little bit. It's not just Mahomes and Purdy. It's San Francisco's really good defense. I mean, I think San Francisco is one of the best defenses as far as points allowed in the league. And they're both pretty good against the pass. Kansas City, obviously very good against the pass. I think they finished third, kind of middle of the road as far as rushing attacks go. So you got to wonder if this is going to be a big Christian McCaffrey type game for San Francisco. So on that text, Flying Dutchman, are you taking the over? Last over I saw was 47.5.
We talked about the two-week waiting period. Which offense can get going first? Which offense do you trust more to find their rhythm quickly?
I do, Flying Dutchman saying the defense has been rough this last month for San Francisco. They have. They gave up a lot of points, and Detroit scored a lot. So on that note, I would say, based on what we've seen with San Francisco, I think Kansas City's offense, confidence with Mahomes and Kelce, I think they're going to have enough confidence to get things. I see them getting started quickly, whereas San Francisco might have to ease into this game a little bit more. And by easing into the game, they're probably going to give us a steady dose of Christian McCaffrey, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, or Deebo Samuel, in a lot of different mix and matches there. Those two provide such a difficult weapon, which again is why San Francisco is such an interesting study in the NFL, because we just don't see teams built like this anymore. You know, the Niners have so many great skill position players, very solid defense, and they stumbled a bit in the playoffs. But it is going to come down a lot on them for Brock Purdy, a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant, a guy that was a third stringer who's had to climb his way up to the top here, and people still aren't sure. I'm one of those guys. And I hate that because Brock Purdy has a really incredible story. Anytime you go from Mr. Irrelevant to starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, there's got to be a story there. So, I was reading something about Purdy the other day, Angel. His dad played Major League Baseball. Well, didn't play Major League Baseball, but he was drafted essentially. That was back when Major League Baseball had even more rounds. And he was drafted almost like the equivalent of Mr. Irrelevant. Pretty darn close. So he had kind of some of that as well with Brock Purdy. But here's Purdy getting his chances to go and make that irrelevant, that Mr. Irrelevant jersey, something really special. What do you think about this? Flying Dutchman says San Francisco peaked on Thanksgiving. They haven't played well in a while. But they're in the Super Bowl. So they've obviously found the ways to play well enough to get in. I mean, Kansas City hasn't played very well throughout the course of the season, but I said if they can just squeeze in, then they're probably going to find their way into the AFC Championship. You know, you go back and look at San Francisco. I mean, they beat the Rams, they lost to the Rams. They lost two out of their last three, including they got smoked by the Ravens. But I don't think they've necessarily played bad. I mean, they beat Seattle 31-13, Eagles 42-19, Seahawks 28-16, Cardinals 45-29, lost to the Ravens, Commanders 27-10. I don't know if I'd really say that was bad for San Francisco. The Ravens game was bad. Brock Purdy threw four interceptions in that game. Sam Darnold ends up coming in, and he threw an interception. There were five interceptions in that game. Baltimore was at the highest of level. That was the team I thought was going to be showing up in the AFC Championship game, the one where Lamar accounts for over 300 yards and two touchdowns and a defense that is taking the football away. Like, Christian McCaffrey had a good day. He had 100 yards rushing and a touchdown and 30 yards receiving. But that's how you beat San Francisco. You have to mess with Brock Purdy. He was 18 of 32. He had a QBR of 7. His rating was 42.6. Again, we can't stress it enough. If you want to beat the Niners, they're good in a lot of areas. But if you can make Brock Purdy look like Mr. Irrelevant, then you're probably going to win this thing. You might even win this thing by, you might even win it by a touchdown or so. So I don't know. Flying Dutchman says, I didn't say they played bad. I said they haven't played as well. Okay. Splitting hairs there.
Don't you know sports is good or bad?
It's good or bad. There's no in between, Flying Dutchman. They should have lost their past two. They're reeling. See, I don't like the whole they should have lost their last two. What does that mean? They won. They came back.
They fought back in both of those games.
Correct. You can call it what you want, say Detroit collapsed or whatever. But I look at it and say that's a resilient football team that, like we talked about with CSU's Joel Scott, that remembered who they were in the second half of that game. Hey, I picked Detroit to win that thing, so I'm rooting for my pick. But then San Francisco comes climbing back. I don't necessarily look at it and say they should have lost.
Well, are the Packers a bad team, especially with the way they ended their season with Jordan Love kind of finding himself?
I think they earned a lot of clout, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll see what they do next year.
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a blowout of epic proportions. Well, Dutchman, I feel bad for you now, man. He said, I don't have a dog in this fight. Unfortunately, I'm a Commanders fan. Who is a Commanders fan? Who?
Were you formerly a team not to be named fan and you just had to stick with the team?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I kind of like the Commanders. They're like a lovable loser type.
Who's their good receiver? McLaurin?
Terry McLaurin.
I like him.
Got a lot of Bama players on that team, no. So I get some interest there.
I have zero. I told you, the least interesting quarterback. It's the least interesting team.
Yeah, but he's like top five in passing yards this year.
Who'd they get as their coach? Who'd they get?
McDonald? No, Dan Quinn.
They got Dan Quinn.
Oh, never mind. Take away the lovable loser.
I kind of like Dan Quinn.
But does he fit in Washington?
I don't know. Who fits in Washington?
Is he just another guy?
I grew up going to games at RFK. All right, so...
Cool.
Yeah. That's cool. No, it's cool.
If you're a fan of a bad team and you own it, respect.
Oh, fan of the Broncos. Well, why is that not?
They have championships.
Washington has a decent history.
Yeah,
they have a championship.
As a football team or the Commanders?
Oh, no.
No.
No. Not since they changed.
Once you rename, you restart.
Oh, so that's not part of the dynasty?
They won't acknowledge it.
So if the Chiefs change their name to the Kansas City Rock Warblers next year, but it's the same team and they win a Super Bowl, is that not the same dynasty?
It's all over. You got to buy a new jersey, new hat, new shirt, everything.
It's not the same.
Not the same team.
12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number two. I got buy or sell coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
$12.55. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors here, and that's Eden Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course. It's February 8th. It's not going to be long until you're out golfing and you're ready to, you know, work on that swing and just get better. Once we get rolling, man, it's a lot of fun. We know golf can get so pricey, but you won't find a better deal than their junior membership for people 29 years and younger. So there's options there for 29 years and younger. Several tournaments going on, open to the public. So there's opportunities there. And, of course, if you want to get your membership, do so at eatoncc.net. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day, are the Chiefs already a dynasty? Or do they need that third Super Bowl coming up? That's one of my favorite things in sports, when we all have these unwritten rules. We have unwritten rules of, you know, where we rank, why we rank quarterbacks the way we rank them. We rank quarterbacks differently than we rank running backs. Barry Sanders, in my mind, probably the best running back to ever do it, never won anything. Never won a Super Bowl. But with quarterbacks, you can't really say that. Dan Marino does not get many people at all say that he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it, because he didn't win a Super Bowl, even though his numbers were ridiculous and his skill set. I watched him in person a few times. I watched him play, and he was tremendous, but they couldn't win Super Bowls. It's just amazing how we gauge the GOAT topic, the dynasty topic, but it makes for a lot of fun talk. Sports radio, 12:57 the time. When we come back, let's get into buy or sell. We're going to talk a little bit about signing day two. The Bears locally continue locally. What did the Rams and the Buffs come away with? All that and more coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.